Hey, so I'm going to have a kid stay here for just a second. I got bad news for y'all. We're here today honoring a couple graduates, and one of the graduates' grandmothers is here, and she told me she's Baptist, so I can go for 2 hours. Amen. I said, you need some Jesus this morning, Catherine. So I'm going to have Hunter come forward. We have two graduates here that attend the church. And Monique Metzger and Hunter Mills. I probably shouldn't have given Monique and Hunter any advance warning on this, because Monique, when I said, hey, I'm going to honor you guys on the 9th or whatever it is today, and a sheer look of panic, and Monique's not here. No, I'm teasing. Here's what I'll tell you about this class. And the reason I'm keeping you young kids in here is because this class is 71 kids that graduated from Northmore High School. That's probably one of the lower classes as far as attendance numbers that we've ever had. My class 30 years ago graduated 98, and that's one of the bigger classes. Now, I'm just going to throw myself out there. I had a 2.7 GPA and ranked 9th in my class of 98. I was in the top 10% of my class with 2.65. If you had a 2.65 in this class of 77, you were about 50th. This class was awarded over $300,000 in scholarships, 10 valedictorians, 4.0 GPAs, maybe 4.0. I don't know how they do that now. Hunter is one of those valedictorians. He had a 4.0 GPA. I'm gonna start with Monique first, though. A couple things you may or may not know about Monique. Monique went to Pioneer. She was in the culinary arts program. And when I spoke with her, I asked her how she liked it, and she said, well, I like it. She said, but the chef always puts me in charge of the pastries. And I thought, what's wrong with that? Now, I think that's a rumor, because I've not seen any pastries by Monique yet, but that's okay. But here's the other thing about Monique that I heard this at graduation, and it kind of threw me. Monique enlisted in the Army. I don't know when she leaves. I don't know any of that, but I thought that was pretty cool. So that's Monique Metzger. And I didn't get, like, I have Hunter's invitation. So if anybody, for his party, if anybody wants a copy of that, a paper copy of that, I know Les uses that to pray for our graduates. So I will make some copies of that, or Sarah may have some copies of that if you want to get with her, but I know. What I want the graduates to know is now you have a church family praying, not just now, you've had one, but you have a church family praying for you every single day for whatever your needs are. Just know that they're praying for you. So I'm going to move to Hunter. I've known Hunter since he was well born. Chris and Sarah have taught together for, I don't know, 20 years, I think. Sarah's a lot older than my wife. My wife's a youngster. Yeah, she was part of that 96 class, or 98 class, 89 class. But I got to know Hunter quite well. Hunter, very polite here, and Hunter always does the right thing. Here, when Hunter and I were studying for the ACT, I was his tutor for the ACT, and we worked hard at studying for the ACT, and he was really, really worried about it. I said, Hunter, you know everything I know. You'll do fine. I'm kidding. Hunter, what did you get on the ACT? 32. Anybody know what a perfect score on the ACT is? 36. This kid's smarter than the rest of us put together, okay? Just so we're clear on that. But Hunter will be attending Ohio State in the fall, and I'm going to butcher this, but I think I remember it. He's going to major in computer science, technology, and engineering. So again, I don't even know what all that means, But I know that he's a very smart young man, very bright young man, and he will do well. So that's Hunter. Last week at the graduation, there were 10 valedictorians, so they split the speech up. Hunter did not speak. So I'm just going to turn it over to Hunter, and we're going to have his valedictorian speech. No, he said he was good. He didn't want to talk today either, so I'm just going to move on. But the church, little gift and a card here, and this is just a 365-day devotional that we got for you. Congratulations. And I'm doing Hunter first, presenting Hunter first, because Hunter has to go to work because he's now an adult. So he has to leave in about, 5 or 10 minutes. So I wanted to make sure we got him his recognition before he left. But I am going to pray with Hunter real quick, and then we'll move into the message. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Hunter up before you today, Lord, and we thank you for all his accomplishments so far. And we know that your hand is in his life, Lord, and we know that your hand is on his life and guiding his life, and we know that he's going to do great things through you, Lord. We just thank you for the transition he's made into adulthood, and just continue to guide and bless him as he moves into young adulthood and college and all the decisions made there, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Congratulations, Hunter Mills. So, normally when I do these graduation, I talk to little guys and teachers for upstairs. You can go now. But here's the importance of grades, guys, little guys. You get money for them. Pay for college. Normally, I lead these at the graduates, and this is kind of at the graduates, but not really. So we're going to talk today, and the title is Blessing, the Blessing and the Challenge of Graduation 2019. Before Hunter leaves, I will tell you, Hunter, welcome to the real world. It's no longer 8 to 3:30. You know that. You work. One other quick thing about Hunter before he leaves. He works at the mall in Mount Gilead. I call it the mall. Drug Mart. And Hunter's pretty quiet. So now when I go into the store, not now, I've done it quite a while, but I make a big deal to find Hunter because I know it embarrasses him. And I'll just say this. I live with four women, and one day I was in searching for women products, feminine hygiene products. And I took him to the, it's probably funnier to me than it is anybody else, but I don't care. I took it to the register, and I said, Hunter, I think I need a price check on these, thinking he would get on the microphone and say price check, you know. He said, okay, I'll look those up for you on the computer. See, he's smarter, because I would have grabbed the microphone and said, health and beauty, I need a price check on Kotex. Not Hunter. He punches it into the computer and says, they're $8.99, dummy. You got to have fun with him. So the first verse I used today was Joshua 24:15. I'm going to cram a few of these verses in before Hunter leaves. Choose this day. He's leaving right now. He doesn't want to hear any of them. Choose this day who you will serve. And it's a choice. It's a choice Hunter has to make. It's a choice we all have to make. It's a choice Monique has to make. So that's kind of cool. High school graduation is a rite of passage unlike any other. You move from being treated like a child legally to being counted on as an adult, both in society and in any academic setting you might enter. I contend when that kid goes to school, he's going to be smarter than the professors. So, good luck to them. The nice thing about him is he'll never act like he's smarter than you, the man he is. So that's kind of cool. Colleges aren't even allowed to discuss your grades with your parents apart from your consent. That was a hard thing for me I have two that have graduated, and I had to wait, you know, in high school, they're on this thing called, parent access or progress books. So, I mean, every day when I come home from work, I'm, okay, Morgan, you only got 7.5 out of 8 on this. Why? Okay. Then we go to college, and I'm like talking to Shelby, and what do your grades look like? Well, the same as they did a week ago, Dad. Well, what were they? Oh, I don't know. I have an A in this, and a B in this, and an A in this. Okay. So, as a parent, you have to let go, because you're no longer in charge. Guys, I'm telling you, there's some eerie, not eerie, it's great. Guys, Dad's on the cross, let's go every day. He lets go every day, and he lets us choose him or not choose him. Okay? Childhood is over. Adulthood beckons. How should you respond to the blessing and the challenge? And this is, yes, it's to the graduates, but I'm telling you, this is to the Christians. It's to the parents. It's to the grandparents. It's to just the church. How do we respond, and what decisions do we make every single day? So, number one, you got to own your own faith. If you come from a Christian home, you have benefited tremendously from a host of supported circumstances. And I'm going to read these examples. And my girls are all going to roll their eyes. There are household rules. There are numerous protections built in for you. There's church life. And there's the love of your parents every single day. Testing awaits you as you enter the world. It won't be enough to ride the coattails of your parents' faith. If you're not sure about Christianity, now is the time to settle that matter. And let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12. And I'm all over the place this morning, I apologize. But there was a lot of verses that God laid on me that he wanted to talk about today. So as those young graduates are heading out into the world, this is a verse I'd like for them. And Sarah, you don't have to take note of all this, but make Hunter listen to this on the website. He can take notes, but the notes are in the bulletin, all the verses. 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Guys, take yourself back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is for each one of us. Well, man, when we were in high school, we didn't have any worries, right? We were in elementary school, we had no worries. Being a kid was easy. Being a Christian should be as easy. We got a guy that pays all our stuff. Paid all our stuff. Okay? But times when we graduated were easy. Then we ran into some rough patches, right? So many times, it says pretty clearly, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If we would fall on Him in our times of trouble, because they're going to come. They're going to come for Hunter. They're going to come for Monique. They're going to come for every kid in this church. They're going to come for every adult in this church. What do we do? The Bible pretty clearly says, remember your Creator. Christianity is a faith like any other, unlike any other, because it's based on historical events that were verifiable to thousands of people in Christ's day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have verse 3, but I'm going to start in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Verse 3, for what I have received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. So guys, what's going on here is they're saying, man, I saw it firsthand, and now I preach to you, and now I'm telling you, and we're recording it. It is historical fact what has happened. Christianity, based off of historical facts. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Then let's look at verse 12 through 14. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you still say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He's talking to the people of the church. Our faith is based off of historical facts. But so many times, we don't pay attention. So many times, we question whether it's real or not. He was saying, guys, if it's based off of historical facts, and if you don't believe, then you don't believe in the resurrection. Because He died on the cross. But the resurrection is where He beat death. He beat death by rising again and living and being seen by all those people. You know, did Jesus have to come back and be seen by those 500 people? No. Because His 12 were going to spread the word. But it was important that He was seen by the rest of the crowd, because then the government and the church leaders and everybody couldn't say, oh, that's just the disciples talking. Okay? It was factual that He came back and was seen by 500 people. If you have any doubts, ask away. The existence of God, the reliability of the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus being the only way to God. There is a wealth of material which addresses these and other questions. And you have a wealth of material here in this church. Guys that are smarter than me. Guys that are more versed than me. Guys, I'd love to sit and talk with anybody that's doubting Christianity. I'd love to sit and talk with anybody that's doubting whether Jesus ever happened. But do you, and this is again to the graduates, but I'm talking to everybody, do you want to base your life on Jesus Christ? You'll soon encounter new opportunities to misuse God's good gifts in ways that seem great, that seem to offer immediate pleasure. See, that's the thing. when my generation, and I feel like an old man now because I remember listening to preachers speak and talk about my generation, but when my generation graduated, we had a vision for our future. We knew, you know, there's times today when I think some of these kids who graduated can't think past the end of their nose. Can't think past, what's it going to get me now? And I don't think either one of our graduates thinks that way. You know, certainly Monique and listening to the Army, that's wild. You know, that's pretty cool. And Hunter has the vision, because he could do English, he could do history, he could do, you know, biochemical something. He could do all that. You know what Hunter says? I'm going to be a computer guy, because they're going to be around forever. Smart. So, immediate pleasure. Will you believe the lie that God is a cosmic killjoy or out to rob you from experiencing the good things in life? Genesis 3. Again, I apologize. I'm all over it, but it's all right. We need to get through the Bible. We're going to look at verse 6. Kind of fitting. You know, these kids are going into college. They're going to be faced with many, many, many opportunities, many decisions, many things that may seem good at the time. And again, we're talking about immediate pleasure. We're going to Adam and Eve. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Guys, this is the start of why we have doubts. This is the reason why you would question Christianity. This is the reason why we have so much sin and junk in our lives. These people were living with God. How cool would that be? Just walking around with God. It'd be pretty cool, right? But see that apple tree over there? Shiny red apple. And I always wonder, how come it's always apples? You know, when you think of, and maybe it was an apple, it just says fruit, but I'm going to say it was an apple. When you think of apples, I don't really think of apples as a beautiful fruit. But when you shine them up real nice, they look pretty cool. I like apples because of the way they taste. Okay? And I like hard apples. I don't like them soft, mushy ones where I bite into them and no thanks. So, Eve takes this apple and she eats it. Even though they've been warned, hey, do not go to that tree and eat. That's the only, this is right here, this tree is the only thing you can't eat fruit off of. Right here. But because of immediate pleasure, Eve lived in the moment. Forgot our history. Forgot what she was told, forgot her rules, forgot everything, and thought about how good that apple would taste. Guys, it's going to be no different for these kids as they go into the military, as they go into college, as they go into their lives. They're going to be faced with situations that they can get immediate gratification out of. As adults, we are faced with situations that we can get immediate gratification out of. We got to fall back on our Creator. We got to trust our Creator. So, will you believe a lie that God's a cosmic killjoy out to rob you from experiencing the good things in life? Or Will you trust the one who made you, knows best, that his rules are an expression of his love, and that his ways lead to your greatest happiness? And I preached on tithing a couple weeks ago, and I told you the reason I want you all to tithe, because I want you to experience God's goodness. Psalm 23. Ooh. Psalm 23. Guys, this is what God wants for us right here. Nope. Psalm 16. Sorry. We'll use 23 later. Psalm 16. And you could read the whole thing. You wouldn't be wrong. I'm going to go to verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Why are we signing up for any other thing other than Psalm 16:11? God is going to take care of you. And as these graduates embark on their adulthood, you make known to me the path of life. I think these two kids know the path they want to take. My prayer and what I'll be praying for them is that God opens that avenue fully and blesses that. Because, man, if God's not in it, I don't know, I've probably shared this before, but now's a good time. When I graduated, I wanted to be a school teacher. I wanted to teach high school math. Well, I didn't really want to, but I listened to my uncle. He said, go into math. It'll never, and I did well in math, had good scores. Man, I got to college and was taking Calculus 2 and Calculus 3 and Linear Calculus and all this other stuff. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought, I tried to stumble through it, I tried to get through it, and man, it was hard. And finally, I had to turn everything over to God and say, what do you want me to do? You know? Funny how it works out. God put me in the grocery business and working, you know, quite a lot of hours, and but a pretty good job. And then when an avenue opened up to go back into education, and I was still going to school, but I transferred to Ohio State, and you know, my passion wasn't there anymore for education, nor could I afford to take a pay cut. So God puts us where He wants us. But I did not, and I grew up in a church, but I did not pray, I did not think about, I didn't go to God with, what do you want me to be when I grow up? Right? Because I was American Baptist, man, we didn't talk about that. You didn't let God have control of that. You grabbed it and you went, right? Man, I wish God would have had His hand in that. Because I'd love to be off 3 months every year. These teachers got it made. Oh boy, don't get me started there. Okay, so that's God has a plan. God wants to take care of us. When we run into troubles, when we start thinking about what's at the end of my nose and how much fun it can be, and then we turn our back on God. So point number two, you need to own your relationships. The Christian faith is lived out in community. Right? A church, it's a community. So you need to find a good church. Somewhere you can worship, learn, grow, and serve. Somewhere you can form friendships and where you can be a friend. Look at a few church websites before you leave home. Check out their beliefs, listen to their sermons, and be aware of their ministries. Make church attendance a priority early. Guys, because I'm going to tell you what happens. If you don't make church attendance a priority early, then life happens, like Matt said, and all of a sudden, you got two or three kids, and it's too hard to get two or three kids ready for church, and I got to mow the yard, and I got to do this, and I got all these different priorities, but I didn't make God a priority by coming to church. So, again, this is spoken at young people, but I think we're all hearing it. When you go to college, your easiest friendships that you find aren't always the best. To become wise, you need to walk with the wise. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Guys, it's biblical. Choose your friends wisely. Walk with the wise and become wise. Now, if you had your choice between walking with the wise and becoming wise, or having a good time and having harm, which are you going to choose? But so many times, we want to have that good time. Walk with the wise and become wise. Look for other people that share your same commitment levels of God and faithfully invest in those people. But make sure you also nurture friendships that strengthen your faith. Proverbs 27. Verse 17. And this whole chapter 27 talks about friendships. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, chapter 27, verse 17, Proverbs. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do we all have that friend that holds us totally accountable? Do we? I do. I lay next to her in bed at night. I go everywhere with her. But man, she lets me know when I'm wrong. And the same goes the other way. But she also lets me know, even when I'm wrong, how much she loves me. God put her in my life because there's no reason we should have met. No reason. I'll tell you how we met. We met doing a summer job that neither one of us really liked. Got up too early, worked way too hard, and made $2.14 an hour for 40 hours a week. I thought I had a lot of money back then. I was so excited. The next summer, I got a 40-cent raise and went over $3 an hour, and I thought I was rich, right? Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Guys, find that person. Find that person. Pray for that person. For God to put, if you don't have it in your life, pray for that person to be put into your life. Because that is accountability. And I pray these graduates find that person or have that person in their life. And it can't be their parent because you've already been their iron, their rock. You've sharpened them. You've made them who they are. Now they need to find their person or their group of people. To make a difference in the world, we must be different than the world. Why would I say that? Guys, if we're the same as the world, we're just going to blend in. We want people, when they encounter us, to know that there's something different about us, right? We want that. We need that. Because if we're the same as the world, what happens? We fall into all the worldly junk. We need to fall into the godly junk. I don't mean that literally, but there is no junk with God. But we need to fall into God's line, not the worldly line. And the last point I want to make is, these guys, as they're moving on, and I know they both do and will, but they need to own their own decisions. It's no longer Sarah and Bill's job to make decisions for Hunter. Hunter's going to make his own decision. You hope as parents you've trained and raised them and equipped them to make the decisions. But guess what? Sarah, I hate to tell you this. You don't have any control anymore. You do as long as he's living at your house. But once he goes out, your control is gone. I hope you've trained in the way. And I can tell you, he's a good kid. Not going to make too many dumb decisions. He's smart. When we make decisions, what goes into that? There's a lot of things that go into making decisions, right? What's some of the things? Number one, we think, what can I gain? Because we're human. Where at on our decision making is, how does God feel about this decision? Where does that fall? I'm telling you, and this can go, we can talk about credit card debt, we can talk about anything we want. These kids, now that they're in college, I guarantee in the next month, they're going to have 5 credit card applications. You're pre-approved. They have no income. Hunter does because he works at the mall. But they have no income, but yet we want to pre-approve them for a credit card. We're setting them up for failure, and that is society. I fell into that. Then I got older, and then it was, oh man, you can buy this vehicle and this and that and whatever, right? Own your own decisions. I own the decisions I made. Some of them I made for me. Now, when I got kids, I made decisions based off of my kids. When I got married, I made decisions based off of my wife, but also me. Now, when I go to make a decision, and I'll just share, there's a Northmore softball varsity softball job is open. And, you know, I'm the assistant coach, and I didn't think I really wanted it, and I still don't. I'm not sold that I really want the job. But you know, the first thing I did, I didn't fire off emails and fire off resumes and do all that. I spent about 2 weeks talking to God about that because I just don't know. But I eventually signed the thing because God gave me clearance, my family gave me clearance, and that was kind of cool, but. That's where I go for decisions now. I no longer think about, oh, what's it going to gain me? I think, okay, God, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? How should we make our decisions? Go to James with me. James 5, James 1, verse 5. I'm getting close to wrapping up, I promise. Catherine, you and I can stay later. I'm going to start at verse 2. Trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Man, mature is not a word I like to hear, right? Because what does mature mean? It means you've experienced stuff. And it means you're old. Or you act old. One or the other. But guys, I'm telling you, perseverance. Sometimes I don't like perseverance either, because it means I got to get through something. But consider it joy. Because your faith being tested produces perseverance. If any of you, here's the verse I wanted to get to. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. There's one catch in verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Guys, God wants to give you wisdom. But, not just wisdom I'm talking about. I'm talking about anything we're going to ask God for. We have to believe that He can give it to us. Does it make any sense to pray for a medical emergency or a medical miracle if we don't believe it can be done? That's blind faith. We have to believe. That's not even faith, because we don't believe it. We have to believe in what we are asking for. And that's, again, that's something that comes with maturity. Maturity and wisdom. Guys, these graduates are going to read a lot. They're going to study a lot. They're going to get smarter. My hope and my prayer is they become mature and more wisdom-filled. Because there's only one way you can get wisdom, and that's through God. You can get smarter. What happens when we get smarter? We overthink everything. Anybody ever done that? I'm the only one. Okay, cool. Because I overthink everything. Okay? And then I get that 2x4 again. We've talked about it before. That big 2x4. God smacks me up the head and said, quit thinking about it and just trust me. Okay, God, I got it. I got it. I've seen it in my 3 daughters. Lindsay has to prove it to me. Attitude. Shelby, I can tell something, and she has faith in her dad and faith in her mom and faith in her God, and that's just the way it is. Lindsay's a prove it to me girl, and Morgan is an argue about it girl. Morgan's the smartest of the 3. No offense. Man, it's been that way since they were little. I mean, you could tell. They were all 3 different. And Shelby, if she wasn't pleasing, she was not happy. Right? She did not want to disappoint mom, dad, or God. Still doesn't. Lindsay, God has to prove it. Lindsay's a lot like me. God has to prove it from time to time. God, you got to prove your worth to me today. Right? And I test God all the time, and I wish I didn't. God wants to prosper us. And if you don't believe that, we need to get deeper. That's where I fall. I struggle with that all the time. Because I want what I want when I want it. Anybody ever prayed for something and it's taken years to come through or not get an answer. I've been there. That's no fun, is it? What was that verse about? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trial. And guys, I'm telling you, without the trials I've faced in my life, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be up here, I can tell you that. I may not even be in church. But God uses me, uses those trials in my life to, I won't say give me wisdom because I don't have much of that, but He uses those trials in my life so that when I'm presented with other situations and other people, I'm a people person, I'm a relationship guy, I like to invest in people. God's made me that way. You know, and you never need proof of that. Look at your kids, because I guarantee one of them is just like you. Unless you laugh. I've seen Jesse and you at the workplace. You guys are peas in the pod, right? But guys, these kids are going to face that. They're going to face that they have to make decisions. And sometimes they're going to make the wrong decisions. That's when we as a church have to be faithful to them, faithful to God, lift them up in prayer. I'm telling you, if people hadn't prayed for me when I was a kid, I don't know if I'd be alive. Let alone here. Pray for our young people. Pray for our leadership of the country. Pray for everyone. Okay? We have specific needs with these two young people that we know we can pray for right now. And until that need changes, pray for them. So I'm now speaking to the church. All right, I'm going to finish with, are you panicked that you'll miss God's will? God wants us to follow Him more than we do. His moral will is revealed in the Bible. His sovereign will is revealed as we live it. So, morals, that's the teachings, right? That's teaching us right from wrong. That's in the Bible. His sovereign will, what will live forever, is lived out through us every day. You ever think God sits up there and says, oh my gosh, that's my will, really? God loves us no matter what. God loves us no matter what. When you do make mistakes, and I wish, as a parent, all three of my daughters were here today, when you make mistakes, accept your judgment, accept your consequences, learn from the missteps, and trust God to shower you with mercy and goodness. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I know I had it marked because I was there once, but you've all heard it. You've all heard it preached, probably. Psalm 23. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Here's the verse I was using, but I read the whole thing. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, that is our promise. We should be thrilled about that. God is taking care of us. Very last verse I'm going to use, and I use it in every graduation speech. I'd like the kids to be here, but they're not. Jeremiah 29:11. I know we all know it. I'll start in 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are compiled for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So as we head out in the world today, and yes, it's for the graduates, but guys, I'm telling you, that verse applies to my life today. Today. Because that hasn't changed. God plans to prosper us. He wants, He desires to prosper us. He doesn't want us to flounder. He doesn't want us to be bad Christians. He doesn't want us to struggle with money. He wants to prosper us. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The future is bright for these two young people as they move in to their adulthood life. I want us to take it a step further. The plans for our Christianity and our Christian faith are great when we keep our God in the center of it. Alright? If you take nothing else today, know that God has a plan for you. And know that God wants to prosper you. And know that God wants to use you. Sometimes we don't like that word, right? Because that means we have to do something. Guys, you've been given a lot. We have been given a lot. Let's go out and use it to further our God's kingdom. With that, I'm done. I'm going to pray. And then the praise team will come forward. We'll have a song. And if you have something you need prayer for, if you have something, a decision you want to make for Christ today, don't wait. Don't wait. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Hunter and Monique. And we just lift both of those young people up before you today. And we deliver them into your hands, Lord. We know that you're in charge. And we know that you have your hands all over their lives, Lord. Just give them the wisdom, the knowledge to know that you are there and that you are who they should fall back on. Lord, as we as Christians, let us also remember and refresh ourselves that you are in control and you have a plan and you want to prosper us. Are we willing to follow your plan? To seek out your plan? Your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful job. Hey, I'm going to put my second.